I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting with the 10th verse. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may not be no division among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Cleo's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you say, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephens. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not the words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. You know, as we go through life, we all meet up with a certain amount of change. And throughout that change, it causes us to either grow, be stagnant, or we just stand around and whine a lot about change. Because we as human beings, no matter where you live in the world, change is always a problem. I like to say change doesn't bother me, but it does. You change my breakfast hour, and I tell you that I'm going to be a bit grumpy. If it comes too late, I get grumpier. If we change when I eat lunch, when Carol was working, we would always eat lunch at 1 o'clock. And I was devastated when she would send me a text message and say, I can't go to lunch until 1:30. 30 minutes in my life went, right? We're that way. We're human beings. We don't like change. We like things the way they are. And if we read this scripture for what it doesn't say, that's their problem. If we stop and think about this scripture a little more and really understand some of the background to it, what's really happening is we have small house churches popping up throughout the city, and they're trying to decide who's got the most clout. They're trying to decide who are the best Christians, so to speak, or whose church has the most power and strength from God. Now, you don't just get that by reading it. It almost sounds like a spiritual thing. Quite honestly, it's not. Paul addresses them because they are causing problems within the community through their church, or their churches, if you will. I mean, they have one big church, that's Chloe's church. That was the first church. That was the one that everybody started at. But then as it got bigger, they started other small churches, and now we have factions. And that's kind of how change works, right? And the problem with their change and the problem with a lot of our change is sometimes we aren't sure when we voice our opinion that we got heard. I have a lot of problems when I run into change, and especially when my lunch doesn't start till 1:30, I don't get to voice my opinion. I do. But I shouldn't. And that's what Paul is trying to say here. In the last few months, we've changed a lot of things in our church. We've moved a lot of things around. We've started doing some other things. And not everybody is all that impressed with all these things. And sometimes I'm to blame, sometimes others. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it wasn't that you weren't heard. The problem with changing things in the church is a lot of times those changes come with a lot of history. A lot of, we've always done it this way. Even after I'd been here for 5 or 6 years, one time I was discussing something with somebody and they said, well, we've always done it that way. But it was the first time in 6 years I knew about it. So it wasn't that we done it that way every time. But as we think about our scripture this morning, it isn't about what change brings. It isn't about how we deal with it necessarily. It's how we treat one another. Because that's Paul's whole point here. Paul's point is, no matter how things change, no matter how we do things, we're supposed to do all things in love for one another. We're supposed to work together for the good of all, and mostly for the good of Christ and God's kingdom. We need to work together to drive forward. Because trust me, if we stay and do the same thing we've always done, we're going to get what? What we've always gotten. That's why change happens. In business, the businesses that come out with this great idea and they make tons of money as it goes in the first few years, and then they hit the top of what that will do. And if they don't have something else behind it, their business drops off and there's no more Sears. Catalog companies were big back in the 60s and 70s and 50s probably. When they first started, they made tons of money, but they didn't keep up. They didn't make changes. They didn't see what the people really needed, wanted, or cared about. And they ended up getting swallowed up by other companies because they weren't changing. We've always done it this way. We'll make a catalog 2 times a year and we'll send it out and they'll just buy from us, and that's the way it'll always work. As we deal with our church, it works the same way. Now, are all the changes we made going to pan out? Only if we work at it. Because see, that's part of why we made some of the changes we made. We made those changes because we wanted people to be uncomfortable. We wanted people to realize that we weren't growing, that we weren't reaching, that we weren't doing what this church was founded on. The people that built it, what they actually envisioned and saw happen. It grew. But as we go forward, we have to work together. We have to have unity. Oh yeah, we're all going to grumble about certain things, because even I grumble about change, right? And sometimes when I was told and went through the classes and done all the seminars and everything, the one thing that they sold me on was the idea that I'd have less work. I haven't seen it. And if you ask my wife, I work harder. I work longer. But I don't have it off the ground yet. All the changes haven't actually taken off. We haven't actually fully manned them, if you will. But that's not the point. Change causes problems for everybody. Just like Paul and the Corinthians, their change was the fact they were growing. Their change was the fact that they finally had something that was moving. And for some of these people, it was probably the first time that they had ever enjoyed being in charge, so to speak. Because if you think about the people that Paul and God, Christ actually spoke to, those that they worked with the most, were the poor and the disenfranchised and the ones that couldn't help themselves. And so as these people came up through the ranks, as their house churches grew, they grew a bit of pride in the wrong thing. Much like we can grow pride in the way that we've always done things. It's not just change. We have to remember what we're here for. And that's to love one another, to enjoy one another, to allow God to speak through us to those around us. I'd like to read you a little story that I got. It says, a change of heart. One day, a lady was giving her little nephew a lesson. He was generally a good, attentive child, but on this occasion, he could not fix his mind on his work. Suddenly, he said, "Auntie, may I kneel down and ask God to help me find my marble?" His aunt, having given him consent, the boy knelt by his chair, closed his eyes, and prayed silently. Then he rose and went on with his lessons contently. Next day, almost afraid of asking the question lest the child had not found his toy, and so might lose his simple faith, she said, "Well, dear, have you found your marble?" "No, Auntie," he replied. "But God had made me not want to." That's probably where we need to be today. We need to stop and allow God to help us through change, to give us the strength and the joy in our hearts, to put it behind us and move forward. To realize that much like today. They're going to have a benefit in town at noon. I can't think of a better way to reach that part of our community that we'd like to reach. That part of our community, even in their own words, are Catholic, but at the same time, they're not practicing, and they'll tell you that. They might have been when they came up, but they aren't no more. Most of them go once or twice a year. We have a name for that. Those are the Christianers, right? Christmas and Easter. Those are the people that we have on our side too. It happens everywhere. But these people need to know the hope, need to know real hope. And real hope only comes from God. Real hope only comes when you actually understand that Christ died on a cross, not because God sent him, because he loved each one of us, because he did and obeyed, yes, but first and foremost was his love for us. Because as he goes into the Jerusalem the week before, he cries over the city. He cries over the people because they're so lost. And that's our community. But we can only reach them when we can reach one another. When we can have love and joy and unity within our church. So this week, I'd like to invite you to reach out to someone new, someone different. Start a relationship and watch God do the work. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the beautiful weather we're having, the snow as fall falls into winter. We just thank you, Lord, for watching over us. We thank you for bringing us together to hear your word, to understand what you'd have for us. And we just ask, Lord, that you speak to each and every heart that's here. Open us up to your leading. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen.